And it is from the rock where he leads them all in prayer, and they pray behind him. So he is the leader of all of the prophets and the messengers. He is the one whom prayed and stood in the location of the holiest of holies. Mm-hmm. He is that spirit of God that's leading the people, the prophets and the messengers in prayer, and he is, he's God in creation, right? اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد الإمام المهدينا وسلم تسليما. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear brother Dr. Fan.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته أبو صادق. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining. So today we want to have a conversation about the Middle East, about the situation that's taking place in the Holy Lands, and the war that's going on between the Israelis and the Palestinians, the Jews and the Muslims, the Arabs and the Jews. Both are descendants of Abraham. The Arabs are descendants of the prophet Ismail, the son of Abraham, the eldest son of Abraham. And we have the Jews who are descendant of the son of Abraham, the brother of Ismail, and that is Isaac. God, in the Torah, he makes a covenant with Abraham, and he promises that he will be with Abraham and his children forever, an everlasting covenant that is not extended to the disbelievers or the oppressors, but that he will be with them. The Israelites understand from the Torah and what is written in there that this promise is specifically for the Israelites and the Israelites alone, and that no matter what it is that they do, God will be with them forever and ever and ever. Until the emergence of the Messiah and beyond. The Muslims, they believe also that the Israelites were God's chosen people. And the Quran also clearly states this. It says, in many occasions, there are holy texts, whether in the Quran or the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, it states that God had chosen the Israelites as his preferred people. He chose them over all of the worlds.
Right.
Okay. Yes. So up until then, the Muslims and the Jews are in agreement with one another. They disagree with one another over the identity of the Messiah. So the Jews reject Jesus, the son of Mary, and they say that he is not the Messiah, that he was a false claimant. And they see that his death, his killing, his crucifixion is a further proof that he was a false claimant, because they have narrations that basically state the same thing that some of the narrations from Muhammad and the family of Muhammad state, that if anybody claims this matter and is not from it, God shall cut off their life, right?
Right.
And because Jesus, the son of Mary, after he began to propagate his dawah, 3 years after the beginning of it, he starts at the age of 30. He's crucified at the age of 33. They believe that this was the shortening of God to his life and to his call, and a further proof that, you know, that he was false. And also, they see that he did not accomplish anything from those things that God had promised them in scripture that the Messiah would do, which was to, you know, which is to bring justice and equality and equity to the nations, all right? Mm. And bring everybody underneath the kind of rule of Israel.
Right, right.
Or that he would rule the whole world. The Christians, they believe that Jesus will accomplish these things in the second coming. And the Muslims, we'll put the Christians aside for now and we'll come back to them. But yeah. The Muslims, they believe that Jesus was the Messiah And so God fulfilled his promise to the Israelites. He kept them as his promised people, his chosen people, from the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all the way down till the time of the coming of Jesus, the Messiah.
Right.
But they see that the Jews plotted to kill Jesus, and they rejected Jesus as their Messiah after a long history of killing and slaughtering and stoning and murdering many other prophets and messengers that were sent, such as Zechariah, whom they murdered in the temple, and John the Baptist, whom they beheaded, all whom are prophets that Islam recognizes, right? And also Christianity recognizes. And so they believe therefore that the Jews basically broke their agreement, their covenant with God, and that the rejection and the attempted crucifixion, right? Because the Muslims don't believe that Jesus was crucified.
Sure.
But they still believe that the Jews, by their attempt to crucify Jesus, the Son of Mary, that they broke the covenant, and therefore any agreements that were in place between God and the Israelites was no more and would never be anymore. Like, they're no longer his chosen people because of their choice to reject Jesus. And a choice to reject Jesus means that you're going to reject everything that comes after Jesus. So you're also going to be in a state of hostility, denial against the successors of Jesus, whether it's Simon Peter or the apostles or those who came after. Mm-hmm. And you'll also obviously reject the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom the Muslims believe came as a confirmation and fulfillment of the promise of Jesus that he was going to send after him a comforter, right? Or a messenger who would come after him, who would be sent to the whole world, to the entire world.
Right, yes.
The Muslims see no contradiction between Jesus being the Messiah and not fulfilling or ruling and spreading justice and equity on the planet. They don't see a contradiction between him being the Messiah and not fulfilling these certain traditions and narrations, because they believe that one, he fulfilled it anyway, in the sense that it is only because of Jesus Christ that Judaism, right, and the Torah, and knowledge of the Jewish Hebrew prophets and messengers reached the entire world. If it wasn't for Jesus, nobody would be a Christian today, and nobody would even know anything, probably, or care much about the stories of the prophets and the messengers. They would know about Judaism about as much as they know today about Mandaism or Zoroastrianism, even Hinduism to a large extent, right?
Yes.
It would just be some obscure, Judaism would have been just some obscure cult that has no power or influence in the world. But yet we see, because of Jesus, the Son of Mary, and his successors that spread his call after that, you find that Christianity became the number one religion that is practiced all around the world. Yeah. You have some of the most powerful countries in the world, and certainly the most powerful empire that ever existed. It converted to Christianity, and I'm talking about Rome, and thus knowledge of the Torah and the prophets and the messengers, became a common thing amongst the Gentile world, right?
Yeah.
And today you have the European Union, all the European countries, the United Kingdom, Canada, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, and many other countries in South America and in Asia, such as Russia or other countries like that, that have Christian majorities in their population.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. So they see that Jesus, that this was only because of Jesus. And so Jesus did fulfill the role that he was supposed to fulfill, and he will still fulfill it again once he comes back, in the time of Imam al-Mahdi, alayhi salam, where he will have a chance to rule alongside Imam al-Mahdi and support Imam al-Mahdi in establishing a divine just state.
Right. Now, it is really interesting that how Jesus brought the Old Testament to the world. If it wasn't for him, then all of these vast countries and nations you described would never have heard of the message of the Abrahamic God.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the situation yes. today. Now, we have the Muslims, though, believing that the Jews and the Christians went astray at some point. And the Jews, obviously, we spoke about that. They went astray with the rejection of Jesus. And then the Christians, they go astray with the rejection of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so they believe that the God establishes a new covenant, a new deal, has a new chosen people. And those chosen people are the Muhammad and the family of Muhammad and the Shia, the true followers of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. And you have tons of narrations which explicitly state that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam refers to himself as Israel, that he is Israel, and every verse in the Quran which is speaking about Israel in a positive light is speaking actually about Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. And the verses that are speaking about the corruption and the bad deeds of Israel, this is actually, it's twofold. It's in the apparent, it's talking about the old Israel that existed before, but it's actually talking about the Muslims today who become the new Bani Israel. And being the Muslims being the new Bani Israel means what? Means that they are the new chosen people of God.
Right, right.
God now chose them over the rest of the world. God has a covenant with them, right? And there are many interpretations of the verses in the Quran that deal with Bani Israel that are, that show this. For example, there's a verse in the Quran that says basically that the Israel is going to spread corruption in the land twice, and then it's going to, become very high in the land a third time in mm-hmm. terms of oppression and aggression, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of Muslims, the mainstream Muslims, the Sunnis, they interpret these verses as being basically that the first two times that Israel, spread corruption in the land or was enabled in the land were the two times when the temple was built, right? During the first kingdom until they were, Jerusalem was sacked and destroyed by the Babylonians. Mm-hmm. And then the second time was when they reestablished the temple and Jerusalem, and then it was eventually sacked by the Romans. And that the third time that's mentioned in the Quran, they consider it to be now. So mm-hmm. they consider that today is a fulfillment of that. But we have another interpretation of that verse by Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, in which it says that the first time is the killing of Imam Ali alayhi salam by the Israelites. This is the first time that the Muslims or the new Bani Israel, spreads corruption in the land, mm-hmm. and they're established. The Muslims are established, and then they kill Imam Ali alayhi salam. And the second time is when they kill Imam Al Hassan alayhi salam, and that the great time where they rose and they spread the greatest of corruption is with the killing of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
Yes.
So the verses and the interpretations are not in contradiction with one another, because it's well known with the Muslims that each and every verse from the Quran has multiple meanings. It can have 70 meanings to it. And so one time it's talking about Israel, Another time it's talking, or the apparent's talking about Israel, the hidden or the esoteric meaning behind it, and its fulfillment is about the Muslim nation and their spreading of corruption. So the point is now is that the Muslims, they consider themselves to be God's chosen people. Right. There's a new covenant that's established, and so they are the inheritors of all of those special promises and traits and qualities and things that God had initially promised to the Israelites. So the Muslims believe that it doesn't belong to them anymore. It belongs to them, mm-hmm. all right? Yes. And they have a right over it. And that's the reason why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, when he came, the first direction of worship was towards Jerusalem. And if we look at this picture here, if we can bring it on the screen, you can see that basically everything that is within the gate, this wall, there is the area where the old temple was, right? Mm. The temple of Jerusalem. And you can see that there are a couple domes there, a couple mosques which are established, or masjids. You have at the front entrance there, you have the Masjid al-Aqsa, right? Which has that kind of silver dome, the smaller one. Small. And then you have at the back there, the Dome of the Rock Masjid, right? Both which lie on the area of the old temple. One at the entrance, one on the back. Both of them are part of the complex, which is Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, or the farthest mosque, or the Temple of Jerusalem, the initial area of direction, the direction of the worship.
Right.
The one that is called the Dome of the Rock, it's called the Dome of the Rock because it has in the center of it this gigantic rock, or the cornerstone, right? Which is considered actually to be the holiest site in Judaism, because that's where they consider it to be the location of the holiest of holies, right? Where the Ark of the Covenant was, and the first stone where the temple is established, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And the Muslims, they consider it to be the location where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi went up to heaven from. Okay. Because they believe that he had this night journey where he travels from where he's at, in Arabia, and he goes all the way towards Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, where he meets there all of the prophets and the messengers, all 124,000 of them. They're lined up for prayer, and he is there. He lands on the rock, he goes back from the rock, and it is from the rock where he leads them all in prayer. And they pray behind him. So he is the leader of all of the prophets and the messengers. He is the one whom prayed and stood in the location of the holiest of holies. Mm-hmm. He is that spirit of God that's leading the people, the prophets and the messengers in prayer. And he is, he's God in creation, right? So to speak. Wow. And the best of prophets and the final of prophets, etc.
Yes.
Okay, so there's no other prophet, not Moses, not David, not Solomon, not Jesus even, in Islam, that has more of a right over this location, the Temple Mount, than he does, right?
Right. Yeah.
And the Jews also consider it to be the location where Abraham offers to slaughter Isaac, according to the Jewish tradition of the binding of one of his sons. Obviously, the Muslims believe that son to be Ismail, who was eventually ransomed for a ram. But nonetheless, it has a lot of significance religiously, and it is in Jerusalem, the capital of the so-called State of Israel, but also the capital of Palestine, right?
Right. Yes.
And so, it's problematic because the Jews, some extremist Jews and others would argue that all Jews that are in Israel, although many of them that are in Israel today are non-religious Jews, but certainly those Jews that believe in the prophecy, and for sure it's not all Jews that feel this way, because there are Jews that believe that what the Israeli state is doing right now is wrong, and that Israel is an illegitimate Jewish state, and we're gonna get into that and the reasons why. So many Jews want that the these two masjids be demolished.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why? So that the building of the third temple can commence. They believe, and according to prophecy, that when the third temple is established, that the first temple was destroyed by the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, the second temple is destroyed by the Romans, and they believe that when the third temple is built, that is the time where the Messiah will be. Okay.
Right.
Now, the Christians, they are supporting Israel and they're giving them enforcement against the Arab states because they believe that Jesus destroyed the temple when he was crucified, right? That the temple, the curtain tore and that the temple cracked, and that its destruction at the hands of the Romans was in direct in direct connection with the fact that the Jews had rejected Jesus and crucified him. Mm-hmm. And they believe that when the temple is rebuilt, that Jesus is going to come back.
Right.
So you have an alliance that's taking place now between the Christians and between the Jews, and they're okay with that alliance, mm-hmm. even though they differ over the person of the Messiah, because the Christians believe that when the temple is built, the real Messiah, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. is going to come down, and then all these Jews will accept him. Okay? And the Jews are saying, well, let's just be allies now with the Christians, even though we consider them to be polytheists and that they're worshipers of a false Messiah, but it's okay. At least they accept the prophets and the messengers. Let's take advantage of this, be allies with one another against the Muslims, against other enemies, and in the end, when the third temple is built, the real Messiah will come, and all of these Christians will, in the end, renounce their Christian faith, and they will become, Jews or, friends of Jews or believers in Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what's happening?
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, so the Christians and the Jews, they basically decided to put their differences aside to help one another in the common goal of establishing a third temple. And when the third temple is built, and then they can hash out the differences, they'll see who it is that's upon the truth, because either these people's Messiah is going to come or these people's Messiah is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, the Muslims, though, they have a very big problem with the plans that the Jews and the Christians have. They have very big problems with them rebuilding the temple, because rebuilding the temple means that they are going to lose control over this area, that it will be this holy site, which is one of the holiest sites in all of Islam and is the holiest site in Judaism and Christianity, will now become under the control of the Jews and the Christians. So these two masjids or mosques staying firm, standing there, right, means that they have a claim to the land. It is not that Muslims are particularly attached to the bricks and the stones or the dome that makes up the complex, although they do believe it to be a historical site. But it's more about the control of the land. Because remember, in the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these two structures did not exist, right? Yes. They weren't, they were not there. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi never built it. He never commanded that it be built, right? Mm-hmm. And during the life of the first of those four caliphs that Sunni Islam considers to be the rightly guided caliphs, and Shia Islam rejects all of them except for Ali ibn Abi Talib, this also was not established. In some narrations and historical traditions, it is Umar ibn Khattab who marches in with his armies and he establishes and commands that that this be built. Some narrations state that it was a later caliph from the Umayyad Empire. In all cases and in all narrations, when the Muslims go in there, they find that the Christians had already taken control over the site and they had established on top of it a church, mm-hmm. right? And so when the Muslims come in, they convert the church into a mosque or into a masjid by building on top of the over-existing structure, right? Mm-hmm. Or turning it into a masjid. And inscribing in their verses that reject the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, etc., right?
Right.
So. And we find this phenomenon happening. It happens a lot, and it took. You can find this in Lebanon too. When you go to Baalbek and some of the other sites, you'll find these Roman temples that were dedicated to Jupiter or Zeus or some of the other Roman gods, and you will find that the Christians establish on top of it a church. So the Roman structure is still there, but now they write things about Jesus and they add some things on and they take advantage of the structure. And then the Muslims, when they come, you see that they wipe out certain things from that the Christians had inscribed and they write over it, Muslim Islamic verses from the Quran, etc. And so it will be one structure and then on top of it's built another structure and on top of it is built another structure. Mm-hmm. And so this is what took place here. It was the site of the temple, and then on top of it was built a church, and then on top of that was built masjids. And these masjids that you see in the photograph throughout history, there were actually many earthquakes that took place at different time periods that collapsed these structures. That dome had already fallen, and it wasn't even there most of the time, the one that's over the Dome of the Rock. And the other masjid also, it had collapsed and was rebuilt several times, during the Umayyad dynasty, the Abbasid dynasty, and also in the Ottoman times, right? Mm-hmm. And even fairly recently, some additions were made in the past century or so. So the fact of the matter is that the site is holy to Muslims because they want to have access and control over it. Because they believe that they're the ones who have most of a right over it, because they are followers and acceptors of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right. And the value of the prayer on that site is worth, according to some narrations, 1,000 prayers otherwise, or 1,000 pilgrimages otherwise. So it is considered to be a site whereby closeness, it is, you can be closer to God by going into a state of prayer from that place.
Right.
Now, Dr. Efendi.
Yes.
Why are some Jews different with one another? Why are some Jews disagreeing? Why are some Christians disagreeing with the alliance that has taken place between the Jews and the Christians and between their actions? Why are some Jews against the state of Israel? Because now there's a difference of opinion. The Jews are split. The Christians are split when it comes to this topic. Some Jews believe that they should act as the fulfillers of prophecy. that they themselves should build the temple, and when they build the temple, the Messiah comes. Other Jews believe that, no, they should not build the temple, that they have to wait, and it is the Messiah who comes and he builds the temple.
Uh-huh.
Do you understand?
Right.
Some Jews believe that they should have taken things into their own hands and established a new state called Israel, and that the fact that they were allowed by God to establish this state means that God willed it or wanted it. Another group of Jews believe that God exiled them, and that they should have remained in exile until the coming of the Messiah.
Mm.
That this is against God's will, that it's God's will that Palestine and the Palestinians remain there, and that everything that Israel has done from the establishment of a Jewish state in Palestine is against God's will. And that's why you see many videos where you'll find that they are waving, there's Jews that are waving Palestinian flags or protesting along with the Palestinians because they believe that the Jews have committed a great error, and that they're not real Jews, they're not practicing Jews, that they're actually fake Jews, and that they are the real Jews because they're waiting on the Messiah while these ones are going ahead of the Messiah. Mm. And they're trying to, fulfill or relive prophecy in the Bible.
Right. Wow. It's quite crazy that you've got the, who's right? You know, you've got the proactive messianic kind of Jews who actually go before the Messiah, and then you've got these other ones who are waiting, and who's right?
Well, you see the same thing that's taking place and happening in Islam, exactly the same thing. And the Prophet Muhammad said that it would happen, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that meaning the Muslims will follow in the footsteps of the Christians and the Jews step for step, even if they were to fall into the lizard's hole, the Muslims would do the exact same thing, right? So basically the hadith says that the Muslims will do exactly as the Christians and the Jews did before. And we find also that today even, the Muslims are in disagreement with one another in terms of the Mahdi. You have a group of Shia or Muslims that believe that that we have to take things into our own hands, and that the scholars, just like the Jews believe that the rabbis are the representatives of the Messiah, and that possibly they're having hidden meetings with the Messiah behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's okay that we establish a state of Israel, and that's okay why we should, destroy the temple or the two masjids and seek to build a temple from anew. You have over here the Shia saying we shouldn't wait for a group of them saying we shouldn't wait for Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam to arrive in order that we may establish a state or a divine just state or a state of Islam. No, let's go ahead and do that now. And so they pledge allegiance to Khomeini, for example, and they establish this state of the scholar, wilayat al-faqih, the wilaya of the jurisprudent. And they believe now that they have, that this is God's state, this is the state of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, and that they should die to protect it, and that even if Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam was to go against the state, that they should go against Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, right? And wow. You have many scholars that have actually physically said that, and we've showed this before in different clips. And so you have the same thing that's happening over here, the same thing that's happening here. A group of Muslims, a group of Jews believing that they should have the initiative to fulfill the, prophetic, the prophecies.
Yes.
And the prophetic words of the prophet and the messengers and the imams, right? And going ahead, and you have the majority of the people thinking to themselves, well, maybe the scholars, maybe Khomeini, maybe Khomeini, have secret meetings with Imam al-Mahdi. They're the representatives of Imam al-Mahdi. Same thing in Judaism. There's all these tales and this common belief and mystery on the streets that the Jews kind of believe that, you know, maybe Netanyahu is working on behalf of the Messiah, or these Jews, these rabbis that are supporting him, that they're behind the scenes delivering the will of the Messiah to Bibi Netanyahu, and he, you know, must fulfill, you know, that he's on a holy mission now. Right. And you find him in speeches basically referring to portions of the Bible that speak about the wars that the Israelites had against the Philistines and against others, where they didn't have mercy upon anybody, not even the animals or the children. The Amalekites, and he's making references to this in his own speeches when he's rallying up his base of support. And that's why you find also a lot of the Jews desensitized to the aggression that's taking place and the genocide that's taking place against the Palestinians. And why they're so focused and hell-bent on continuing doing what they're doing, even though every country in the world, practically, even their allies, the United States and other countries, have called for a ceasefire then and have condemned the bombing of innocent civilians and children's, and the large, vast numbers of people that have gotten killed, Palestinians that have been killed by the Israelis, innocent Palestinians that have nothing to do with it. They are continuing to, the Jews and the Israelis are continuing to move forward with their plan, regardless, because they are supporting the establishment of the divine promise that God had given to Abraham in the Torah, right? And this is what the Arabs have for a very long time been afraid of. And they have accused the Israelis of wanting to enlarge their state and to push the Palestinians out of the land. And they have gone so far, many Arab rulers and governments, as to accuse the Israelis of having ambitions to establish a greater Israeli state, which is between the two rivers from the Nile to the Euphrates. And they even state that in the Israeli flag, you have this blue line at the top, you have the blue line at the bottom, and you have the Star of David in the middle. And they say that the Star of David is the state of Israel, and that the one of those blue lines symbolizes the Nile and the other symbolizes the Euphrates. And so the flag itself tells the tale of the ambitions of the Israelites, on what it is that they are planning.
Interesting, yeah.
And obviously, if they were to do something like that, then that would interfere with the current map lines of countries, because that would encompass many Arab countries, including Iraq and Egypt.
Yes.
Right? And so that's a very big problem for them. And for the Arabs and the Muslims, it's really important that this remains intact. But they are not attached to necessarily obviously they would be very angry. They would be very upset. The Muslim world would be up in roars if those two masjids fell or collapsed at the hands of Jews. But what I'm saying is that if they collapsed at the hands of a Muslim, or if a Muslim government was to restructure or rebuild those masjids, they wouldn't have a problem with that, because that's already happened in the past.
Right.
Yeah? Yep. Now, will the temple be rebuilt? This is something that we're going to have to talk about, inshallah, in the coming episode. We'll stop right there for time purposes, but we gave a brief understanding to our viewers about the situation that's taking place. And we'll end on this note, and that is that there is a tradition in Islam, a hadith that the Muslims know, that speaks of the rebuilding of the temple, okay? Except that it takes place not on the hands of the Jews, according to the tradition, but at the hands of a ruler, a caliph from the Bani Hashim, whom the tradition states will build it like no one has ever built it before.
Mm. Wow.
So we'll leave on that note, and we'll get into this topic and much more in the coming future episodes, inshallah.
Wow. Can't wait to see the next episode.
Thank you so much,
Thank you.